Hey guys, I, Jordan Wilson, today, December 13th, 2018, have started a LinkedIn account.
Unbelievable. Hell is freezing over right now.
and there's a good reason for this. And you know, I don't think it's fair to talk about social media without really touching on LinkedIn. I think it's sort of like the forgotten hero, the Skechers in the closet that you don't wear.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. have them.
Yeah. But this one is actually pretty exciting, more exciting than probably it sounds so far. And what we're doing here is, you know, Nick is a good, an avid LinkedIn user and has over the years established a lot of really effective tips and tricks that he's seen work, and he's getting amazing projects through LinkedIn, and a lot of people I know are finding a lot of succession through LinkedIn. So we thought it'd be cool. I have a LinkedIn profile, and I made it a couple years ago and didn't do anything with it. I think I just signed up for it. And so we're going to take these tips and tricks and apply them through my account and then see how they react, see how they do. And in 3 weeks, at the end of this podcast, we're going to record again a follow-up and really just dig into the analytics and see what happens when we do apply these tips and said tricks.
Yeah, and said tricks. Yes, exactly. And this is the same boot camp, same tune-up I've been using with my class and myself as well. And a lot of LinkedIn specialists will tell you are these fantastic ways to tune it up. So even if you're sitting at home, join along with us and fire up your profile and go along with these tips and tricks. And, you know, it's a great thing to do because it's, think of it as a tune-up. Hopefully it's going to help you be found better. We're going to tell you a little bit more why each of these tricks is something you should be doing. And then as well, let us know what you've been doing on LinkedIn. And if any of this is helping you guys down the road, feel free to comment on our Instagram. We are at Creative Course P. Hopefully you're already following us there, but if you're not, join in. And we're going to have a few posts specifically for this episode and the follow-up LinkedIn. So feel free to, like, you know, leave us any comment or question there, and we'll do our best to get back to you.
That's right.
All right.
I'll see you on the other side.
Are you ready for the test?
Let's do it.
All right. Enjoy this one, guys. All right, guys. Well, we are back on episode Creative Course LinkedIn Social Media. How was that for an intro?
We've learned not to title the episodes because we never know which way they're going to go in order.
We never will say a number ever again. Leave it to the description in the podcast.
That's right.
So we hear that you are a LinkedIn pro, Jordan.
Oh, man. I think we should talk about perspectives of LinkedIn here, partly because, like, I think both of us have really, you know, we're coming at this differently. And and for me, the big question has, and also I should preface that I don't use LinkedIn. I do have one, but I've never done anything with it other than, like, sign up for it, I don't know, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But my question was always, like, is it worth it? And I think it's a fair question, right? Like,
of course.
Do we need another social media platform or network to keep up with, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, like, in line with what we've been talking about through this course, I think it might be the most valuable platform as a freelance designer and something that they can really utilize. So I am very, like, LinkedIn curious now. There,
that's the title of our episode right there.
There you go.
Oh my God. It's perfect.
Because look, and I'm sure you're in the same boat. But, like, you know, one of my biggest questions is, like, how do you use social media to get jobs, to get clients? And ultimately, I just think the type of clients aren't really on the Instagrams. And frankly, because, like, most of my clients currently don't know what a dribble is, don't know Behance.
Exactly.
You know? And I was pretty blown away by realizing, like, 90% of my current followers through most of my platforms are just other designers. And so we're basically all networking within our own field.
Yeah.
And the chamber, this is echo chamber, and there's no clients, so you're not really getting jobs. And that's what kind of where I think LinkedIn will come into play, because you're really reaching out to people that will hire you versus people that will just like your images and your work.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point. Even if there are clients there to be found in these other arenas like Instagram and Twitter or Dribbble, the chances of it are just feel extremely rare to me now because of just how flooded it's going to be. And let's be honest, look at who's following you and look who you're following. And chances are they're mostly all designers and friends and family. So
yeah,
those chances, hey, there's exceptions to it, right? I think we both have had success with learning, getting someone connected via these things. But the beauty of, I think, LinkedIn is it was set up for this particular reason, all just from the very beginning, from stage one. And there are so many other industries and capabilities and people who are the more decision-making people at companies that they primarily are working for, they don't own, where that equals bigger budgets, that equals decision makers. And if you can show that you're a top of mind there, chances are they're going to go to you before searching somewhere else because they just know you. And I think that's the organic way LinkedIn is helping designers and entrepreneurs and business owners and freelancers more than any other platform right now. And I keep hearing people saying how they're having great success with it. I've been preaching long time.
I hear the same thing, especially even from you. And that's kind of where I've come full circle from. Like, I've neglected it for so long because simply just, I don't know. It wasn't like, I didn't really know the power of it and still don't, but I'm curious. And also too, it's like, it's just not a sexy,
there's
no pizzazz. It seems very corporate, very lifeless, right? Just on the surface, that's what it feels like. It's like the Skechers of social media, not interesting. But I just think through starting my own business now in freelance and working like with a lot more professionals, I think I'm wrong. I think that point of view is actually an hindrance. And so,
and if you compare it to those worlds of Dribbble, Instagram, whatever, change the perspective and think you're going to be the first to the party in this new wave of people.
Yeah.
In our world, experimenting and trying LinkedIn, right? So like there's just a handful really doing it well and taking advantage of it. So think of it as it's this untapped territory that a lot of designers aren't there yet. So man, I don't think it's going to get to a point where it's overwhelmingly crazy and there's too many, but we should be standing up and standing out there a little bit more.
Yeah. I think it's pretty untapped.
So,
right now the plan I'm thinking is I don't currently use my LinkedIn. It's neglected. And, you know, you are great at LinkedIn. I think you have awesome success stories. I think you have a really good perspective and you've been using it a long time for its full potential. So we're going to use my LinkedIn as the guinea pig. We're going to dig through in and like really figure out how to make it work. We're going to, you know, tap into these tricks, these things that you've had experience and success with. We're going to apply it to my bare bones account and then see if this works. Again, we'll record in another 3 weeks after doing all these things and see currently where I'm at in terms of like outreach and engagements, which is not much. And then after I apply some of this tender love and care, and see where I'm at in 3 weeks and if it really does work.
The LinkedIn challenge.
And I think it can. And if that's the case,
I'm really pretty exciting. Optimistic. Knowing that you can monitor it well enough to see if there's a difference, I think you'll see, and in just 3 weeks, if we can show that it makes a big difference, imagine what this could do for you in the background for months and years to come, which is great. I'd say my involvement with it came from just other colleagues when I was in the agency world, of everybody jumping to it back in the Facebook days. It was like, well, LinkedIn is the Facebook for business. And of course, if you're working, you're trying to make a living and doing all this stuff, anything you could do to help is fantastic. And so jumped on it. And of course, too, let's be honest, it's like, it's kind of a living and breathing resume, work history that is working for you behind the scenes and anyone can find at any time. So it gives you a chance to like, we all want that area to brag a little bit, right? And you don't want to do it so much on your website. Whereas LinkedIn, it's the same format and everyone's doing, applying and putting in info the same way. So let it shine, right? Like take the time to do it. And it didn't happen overnight for mine. I neglected it for many years.
Yeah.
I would say until I felt like I had the stuff to contribute and accolades and things to say, hey, now I on a daily basis with my business, I have stuff to talk about and put out there. I'm already doing it for Instagram and other stuff, right? Yeah. So yeah. Just you've got the copy and you've got the post, do it there as well. So one of the best things I've learned through one of my connections is a woman named Michelle D'Amico, and she's actually my cousin. She's a personal career coach, and she's brought in a fantastic tips and tricks kind of seminar to my students many times, and seeing them just fire up like we're going to do today and go right to your profile and do all these tips and tricks to fine tune it and get it all tuned up to be ready to go. I've seen what a difference it makes. And even with the things I've posted lately, have made great engagements to people that were like friends of friends. So like, that's the coolest part. I don't know Steve, who is a VP of purchasing at some big company, but when he sees one of my posts via a connection and it's something he needs, he's one click away from me. And I think that's the way to look at how LinkedIn's going to help us. And we should also say that all these tips are going to be great if you are even just working as a designer and full-time employment and not a freelance artist. Even more so, you should have the LinkedIn and tuned up, because that is your that is your lifeline right now.
Yeah, man. You know? Absolutely. So I would say for anyone that's actually into this and listening, if you don't have one, maybe pause this and, and start one.
Great idea.
Because you'll be pretty much starting where I am. I mean, I've filled in a couple things, but ultimately it's just where I left it, you know.
That's a great point. So this is like this is like pit stop number one, right? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Stop. I know you love us, but stop us for a second. And if you don't have one, make one really quick. Use the email that you have connected to whatever, you know, account you are using strictly for either job hunting or your business, and come back and we're gonna get rolling.
Cool.
All right. Are we ready to go?
Yeah, man. Let's jump in. I'm pretty
perfect.
Excited.
All right. Awesome. One cool fact that I always remember someone saying was that almost over 50% of jobs now, and let's say this kind of connection via LinkedIn, are happening on LinkedIn before, let's say, job recs are even going out. So if you are looking for a job, right? Your chances of being found on LinkedIn as being a match by the recruiter or the company are far greater than you putting your stuff out there and just applying. So people are searching for you on LinkedIn.
It's almost like a passive resume, right? Like you're getting a passive income of opportunity.
Which, totally. Yeah.
Again, is what I like. Yeah. Like anything that I can like spend time on once.
Yep.
And then have it reap in later and later, like just reap those rewards. Like I think that's
and free of charge.
Yeah. Right. And I am curious. My first question would be like, is it worth, they do premium. Have a premium option, and I haven't looked into what it means.
I've never done
it.
And I know a few people who have, but they're very much the power users, and they might even be like more like recruiters or more like people who are there to find and connect and making, people are making jobs out of this being like LinkedIn specialists. So for them, maybe I can't talk to any reason why I should have it. I think I've been fine on the free account for many years, and I'm good. So when you're on there and you've got your profile going, and one of the first things you're obviously going to do is pick your picture. And one thing I tend to, you know, agree with what most people say is obviously we are the best people to have probably a better picture than anybody else, right? Because of just knowing design, maybe knowing a photographer friend or like yourself, you take photography your own. You want to produce and present the best picture possible. It shouldn't be corporate. It shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't look like a typical, like, let's say, real estate agent, you know, in your suit and tie. Be as authentic to you, but don't be crazy zany. I think you're going to project the personality you want via this picture. And it's kind of the first impression. And think of how you're being found on stuff when you search. And now your picture's there. Now, if your company is pretty big and you feel like the logo of your company could be there, you want a company page. That's something you can do after you've set up your personal one, but you want to be on there as an individual first. So pick a really good picture, keep it professional, but I think we might as creatives have a little leeway in being a little, maybe a little bit fun with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand that. That's the brand.
Yeah. And be yourself, you know, get a good picture in there, make sure it's high quality. Drop it in, crop it nicely. I think, again, it's that first impression. So keep that in mind. And then also you get the chance to now change your background art, very similar to your header and everything. And again, that is a nice little spot to add some flavor. So if it's branding from your company, or if it's a background pattern or a tagline or something that you really stand by, that's part of your company, keep it low key. But, you know, I think, again, it's just another thing that could really help the whole enhancement of when they get to your page, just like your website, you know what works, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can find, I think when you actually click, one thing I always do, and I'm sure you probably do the same thing, is do a quick Google search for proper LinkedIn background art dimensions and and set it up nicely. So that way it's responsive and it works good. So there you go. Any ideas what, like, what you would do? What, like, would you bring in some graphic elements of your branding or maybe even your work?
Yeah, I think so. I think right now it's, I don't know what, it's like this weird colorful retro thing that I put on there years ago.
Nice.
It's like, I think I'm looking at it now and maybe I'll just do like a nice collage pattern of a bunch of logos I made, kind of just like spread out in the background or something like that. I'm not sure, but yeah,
that's a great
definitely
idea.
Something on brand, something that represents me, maybe even my abilities that they can kind of see, like, okay, here's my face, and then here's maybe some of the work I've done.
Yeah. First impressions. That's really all it's about, you know? I think right now I just have a secondary picture of myself that is...
You love it, yeah.
From the same...
just two Nicks for the price of one.
Hey, man, come on. And it was shot by another Longo, my good friend. Yeah,
yeah.
Camilla Longo, who we met via Instagram, just because we're both creatives and we have the same last name, which is hilarious. And I helped him with some graphics work and he helped me with some photography work and it worked out awesome. So like, again, like just making sure it's like exactly what you want to project. You're in total control here. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So good. You've done that. You got your header and you got a really good picture in there. Also test it out, you know, see how it looks on the phone, see how it looks on mobile, see how it looks on wherever you'd be signing on to LinkedIn. It's just a good way to check. So this next thing is really cool and it's kind of sets the whole tone and it's kind of creating your custom, they call it like a vanity URL, because you might just have a URL that's quite given to you and it's all code, but sometimes what people want to been doing is including their URL from LinkedIn on either their business card or as simple as like your Instagram post, which would be like, you know, at Longo Designs or whatever it is. So you get to do this on here. And the best way to do it is you basically click on the profile me button at the top there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it will have an option to click view profile. So go ahead and do that.
Perfect. Okay.
And then on your profile page, click edit profile, public profile and URL.
Cool. On the top right there.
Yep. On the right.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly. Now under edit URL in the right rail, click the, you know, pencil edit button icon next to your public profile URL.
Cool.
Right. And it'll right there. It gives you the chance to put whatever you want after linkedin.com/in/ what you want it to. So you can put Jordan Wilson. You can put
fantastic.
Now chances are being a little late to the game on this, it could be taken. So I believe it will tell you when you try it in. So give it a shot. What happens when you put that in?
I did Jordan Wilson Designs and it's good to go.
Perfect. See, and then keeping it consistent, like how you're doing it with everything else that you're using.
Yeah, my website and stuff like that. Cool.
There you go. Perfect. So now you save that, right? Mm-hmm. Now you have a custom URL to put out anywhere and to link to. And it doesn't look like, you know, this long URL with tons of code at the end of it. Okay. So you can use that anywhere and it's just a great thing to do. Cool. So perfect. Checked on that. Next one is your name and title. And what's interesting is a lot of people tend to maybe just put this in quickly and go right to the meat of the rest of your profile. But this is really prime real estate because most people take such a quick glance at your thing and you want to catch them in those first few seconds. So here's a chance to do a few things, right? Your name and title, you basically have 120 characters to put in your title, which is quite a lot. It's like a small sentence, but it's no paragraph by any means, right? So some of the tips are to really optimize your keywords there. And your keywords would be, you know, brand builder, restaurant design, packaging, whatever you want to be found for. Best thing, because now at this point, is to write down your keyword list of the things, because we're going to be using this in the next few steps too. What are the 10 biggest keywords you want to use throughout your copy? Because the more you use keywords, just like in SEO on different websites and stuff, it helps you be found quicker and higher in the rankings.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. Gotcha. So drop in a few of those keywords. You got 120 characters to play with, right? Mm-hmm. Brand yourself for what you want to be found for. So again, if I put mine as saying like, I spend it to what's my unique offering too. So like what I do for clients. So I want to make sure they know that when I'm there, I think mine says, I help companies cultivate original and strategic branding executions. I'm also a professor of branding and packaging design and the co-host of a few podcasts. Let's just put that in quote because I haven't updated it to this one.
Gotcha.
Then you put how many years of experience you have. It's just this chance to kind of put in something really, really great about who you are and what you can do.
Okay.
So that's kind of that's what you want to put in that first area of name and title. Okay. And what's interesting is look around, look at some other people that you might follow and they follow. Look for really good examples of it. And then you'll see the bad ones too. It just might say like, you know, IT operations. Like, what the hell does that mean? That means nothing. Like, give it a little color, you know?
Yeah.
Give it a little bit more. So make sure. And if there's anything unique in there that is you're certified with or anything that you know is going to be kind of impressive to someone, get it into that title part. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think I might have jumped the gun because that was name and title. Your next mm-hmm. part is just as important. That's the summary part. And that's the part that is actually 2,000 characters. So
your title is sort of summarizing your summary in a way of like your title is like what you kind of what I've kind of seen is essentially, and I've been looking at like how other people's profiles come up when I search.
Yes.
Because I want to know what people are going to see. They're not going to click on my profile first. So
exactly.
The little condensed version is like you have a little profile picture, your name, and then kind of, your title. And within the title, I've seen a lot of variations of just like either what they can do, what they can offer, the job they currently work at, etc. But the ones that seem to do that catch my eye the most is it's not too much. It's maybe like three or four, you know, maybe six words at most, and talking about what they're offering.
Yes.
This is like what I've seen with designers at least.
Right? And
like
and
brand packaging, creative direction, yada yada.
Yeah,
and those seem to look pretty good.
Correct myself. What mine was is creative director, branding specialist, professor, podcast host. Like just kind of covers the gamut. And then what I read earlier was wrong. That's the summary, which what we're going to talk about.
Okay, I got you.
Now.
Yep.
So that summary, you get 2,000 characters. Right. Here's a few key notes of what you want to kind of make sure you get in there. Make sure you put in how many years of experience you have, because that's kind of generically what we're all looking for when we're skimming through, right? Mm-hmm. Really throw out, what are you passionate about? This is your chance to be not generic, not be standard. Get in there and be specific about what you're passionate about, right? What gets you excited to do the job you do every day? What gets you out of bed? That kind of stuff. That adds color, that adds stuff that people are going to remember. So keep that in mind. How have you impacted your industry or your field? So like, even if you're young in this, like there's got to be little ways that you have done something that you feel are really good achievements, things that maybe you did very young in your career. If you did something very young in your career, get it in there, right?
Yeah.
Like I might be surprised to be like, hey, if you have 2 years experience, but you branded this, like, damn, that must mean something, right?
I think that, this is in, you know, kind of what we talk about when you build a brand, and I assume a lot of these listeners do brand developments. Like, this is the perfect opportunity to, one, explain why, because why is the most important? Like, why are you doing this? And two, like, what's your credibility? What's making you different? How are you changing, you know, your field?
Yeah.
And if you can kind of answer those in however manner that works within your brand, I think that's key.
Exactly. And and just like we do with branding as well, the next area you want to kind of concentrate on are what achievements, what benefits have you brought to previous either clients or even employers? Because thinking about it, like when you just say like, I oversaw 10 people or I ran a campaign for this company, that's dry. But if you increase sales or if you manage the process flow and made it more efficient, you know, what did you do as a benefit? Drop it in there as well. That's like, those are those little key things that really stick out when someone's skimming through here, right? So think of that. What significant contributions have you made to a past client or past employee? Next section here is to think about your personal achievements. What are you most proud of, right? Like maybe there's something you were published. Maybe you made it to a blog. Maybe something that you might have done that was big to you and you're most proud of. put it in there. Again, it turns it from generic to more personal. Mm-hmm. And the biggest tip that a lot of people say is now look at your keyword list and make sure you at least have 10 of those keywords that you're talking about in this summary. So if packaging is your thing, if brand development is your thing, if web or UI UX is your thing, look at that list you made prior to this and make sure you have at least 10 of those keywords in here. And now that this paragraph is like gold, that this could be your bio. So when a lot of times too, right, when you're asked for a bio, you can go right to your summary on LinkedIn and know that you've covered everything because of how good you need to be here to stand out, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. Cool. Yeah, it's you know, your Facebook for your resume is what this all is.
Yeah. So like now that we're at this part where we're going to get into the experience side of it, you can put a combination of different things. You'd probably be putting Jordan Wilson Designs as one of your biggest things because of everything you've accomplished there.
Yeah.
Right. As your experience thing in there. So what I've noticed is some people in our field where we're at have a combination of both. So you always start with the most current, but as you go down, it could be some of the previous jobs you've had in the industry that you want to put out there as well, where you may be a graphic designer or senior designer or something like that. So
do you think it's worth,
yeah.
I mean, there's probably a decent amount of younger designers here that maybe have had jobs that aren't 100% related in this field. Should they not add those? Like,
oh no, best example I think they're always there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if you, I always look when I review like my students' resumes as they're building it now, and they're much younger than, let's say, our average listener. But if they worked at a retail job for 4 years through college, oh my gosh, for every reason, put that in there. Because if I see that, you know, this person has stuck through and they're not just jumping around all over the place, that's a better person I want to hire for either freelance or for a full time job.
Sure.
You know? So definitely get that in there for sure, you know? So again, you've done that name and title. We've done our summary. Don't forget too, in your summary, now LinkedIn over the last few years has allowed you to upload video, PDF slideshows, links to anything. So whatever you, here's a spot to put your website. If you've done a really great video of your business or of your brand, drop that in there. I put in a great little video that was done a while back for me. And it's just a great way to kind of, again, introduce yourself right at the very beginning in your summary. So take advantage of all those multimedia things that they're allowing you to do now. Getting into your experience. So again, keep it timeline, keep it in most current at the top. Some things you get 2,000 characters for each job. So you are a little bit limited. I've been there. I've been guilty of typing, and then realize like it's the little red warnings, like you've maxed out. And you're like, it's great that they do this because it keeps you much more condensed, right?
Yeah.
With what you've done. So if you're doing it like yourself and you're going to be putting in stuff from Jordan Wilson's design, what I would do is like really kind of highlight the biggest accomplishments you've made, what a difference it made to that client, and what strengths you brought to this thing that, hey, that's your secret sauce, right? Like what made you stand out?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Got it?
Yeah. And do you think it's worth, because I'm looking on this right now, and like you said, with every sort of job that you can input, there's a section to add pictures, videos, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think below this, like say, for example, Jordan Wilson Designs is, you know, I'm the founder of this company. This is a job that I've had for a long time. Is it worth having examples of work I've done within this field? So like
even
below you can add links, like obviously I'll put my website, but maybe it's like I'll have a slide with like some of the logo and branding work I've done or examples of that work.
Exactly.
And then even I have another experience that I'll input for a brewery that I work for, and maybe I'll put, you know, below all the writing and input and things I've done with them, it's examples of work I've made.
Yeah, we're lucky because we've
built. Cool.
Yeah, we've been down this road before in building, let's say, our website or anything else. So, just as you said, it is perfect. Compartmentalize, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about your branding company, add as many as they'll allow you to put in there, because you can't always expect they're going to find the link to your website and click on that and explore. But if they're right in that first experience level, and there is that click to say, here's my logo work, here's my branding and packaging work, here's my restaurant and whatever design, the three bigger pillars that you feel like are important to talk about, yes, pop them in right there.
Yeah, if you can add a PDF or something and have like a full-on, I mean, yeah, that's great. I think that adds a definite like level
Exactly.
Especially of just like output and engagement.
Yeah. And you can, and be careful the way you write it too. I think if you, we talked about this before, I think like, if it's really, this is all about you now, this is Jordan, this isn't your company. So use the I did a lot of this and instead of the we, like, you know, in other applications, we might want to make our business sound bigger, but I think you got to be a little bit more sticking to you as an individual here. So the things you did and the things you accomplished, I think are smarter to kind of put in there. So you're keeping that target audience in mind. You're keeping a young, small business, maybe a potential client in mind as you're writing this. So again, you might find things you've already written on your collateral or your website might work here, but keep them in mind. So if you streamline something for a business or if you increase sales for a business, by all means, include that because that's going to be gold when someone's reading it, right?
Yeah.
So you're there. Make sure you get those 10 keywords in again as you're sprinkling through them throughout, right? And just be creative with how you're dropping them in there. And again, you're just going to build each one of these experiences. So let's say if the first one's Jordan Wilson Design, your next one would probably be anything maybe you're doing in conjunction with this right now, because a lot of everyone's multitasking and multi-jobbing, right? So like get that in there too, or go back again to some of the anything that's relevant or feel builds your character and builds the argument for why they should hire you and bring you on as best as possible.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Cool. I think there's no limit to how many actual experiences you can put in there. But again, you don't want to have like 15, you know?
Well, it's like a resume, right? Like, and that's where like you're condensing this into something that's going to help you land jobs. So it seems like, the more pertinent aspects you add, the better. Like you shouldn't. Yeah. And that's why I was asking before, like maybe if you had a job where it's like, it isn't at all pertinent to this field.
Yeah.
Like retail could be, or management could be, or like, I mean, there's public relations within those, but like something that might not work, or you already have 6 jobs. Like maybe don't add the 7th job when you're 15 and you were making pizza. Like, you know what I mean?
Although one of my students showed me his and he worked at Subway and apparently they call them their title is sandwich artist. So he's like, he's like, I'm like, keep it in there. That's just gold.
Painting with roast beef.
Exactly. You should see me with the mustard. So next area, skills and endorsements and recommendations. And that is an area where you have some control over, and also your users and your people you're connected with can endorse you and help you there. So with your skills, you can list out all the skills that you feel are appropriate. And again, if you're doing this more as a freelance person, your skills should be more about like how you how you work with a client. Your skills should be client-centric, not so much job-centric. Now, if you are looking for a job, yes, then it's like you as an individual, the responsibility level you have, the attention to detail, you know, those kind of things really play off well in skills and anything that might be unique to you. Like with yours, with your skills, let's say, what comes to mind? Like, what do you think would be the first thing? Obviously, in your branding world, you would obviously...
Yeah, it's like branding, identity, maybe, you know, graphic design. And I guess how specific or how, you know, torn apart should these be? Because like logo design, is that different than, obviously it is, but is it in terms of just like how people read it? Should I put logo design as well as branding and identity, as well as graphic design, as well as illustration?
Or
should those all kind of fall under one? Or should I, you know,
I think it's best to break it up, you know, don't go too far into it and like break logo design up into 18 different things. But like, you're, you know, because I think you and I both can.
Yeah.
But I would try to, and this might be a good part to like pull out a piece of paper and just think of your pillars. What do you offer at the strongest? And then get back to the page and write those in the way you want. There are preset things that you can be endorsed for. So like, let's say you put in there that you do logo and branding, whatever. Now what happens is your connections can endorse you. So every time you log back onto LinkedIn, you'll see at the top, it says, you know, Steven endorsed you for branding. Always go back there and click on it because you want to endorse people just as much as they endorse you.
Okay, so it's like upvotes in Reddit.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool. So this is the credibility of other people saying, yeah, you've done that. I've worked with you. It's true.
Yeah.
And I'm going to click yes.
One of the things I heard here, it's not so much that someone's going to look at that list and be like, oh my God, Jordan is endorsed by 500 people on each one of his entries. What it will do, though, the more that not only you get endorsed, but more specifically, the more that you endorse others, it helps your ranking. There's this thing that they have. It's kind of an internal score that LinkedIn keeps of you based on your engagement on the app. So if you are on there, let's say once a day and just liking or commenting or posting once a week, you get a better score. And again, endorsing people helps your score. So as your score goes up, you're more considered a power user. You are found better. You show up higher in search results. So just keep in mind, it's kind of like a bank. What you put in, you get out. So you can't just let this thing happen. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like sometimes those endorsement things, like I'll see someone who's like a friend of my aunt endorsing me for something. And I'm like, how do you know I even do that? But I'll take it. Thanks, Cindy from Baltimore. You know, I'll take it. But keep that in mind, right? Also, try to ask for at least two recommendations. And if it's from a client and a business, even better. Like if they're writing on behalf of the business, go to your two top, you know, clients and ask for that recommendation, okay? Which is great. I think that works out good. Now, they can be, I think in settings, you can even keep it private. If let's say someone doesn't want to be on there, you know, at least LinkedIn's giving you those options that there's privacy settings that you can manage, but you want at least two that are on there that really sing your praises as far as everything you've mentioned in there, right? And then testimonials, those are great too. Like, again, there's a difference between the two. I think a testimonial is more of like a specific thing, but a recommendation is more of an overall, like I recommend Jordan because he has done an incredible job with this and that and that.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So take a little time on those. Ask the right people. What I've noticed too is it's so great that like everyone's helping each other here. I know anytime I've been asked, I try to make sure I can get it back to them within a week and vice versa. Then when you ask for it, it's nice to get that back from people and everyone's helping, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So your next area is the additional info area. And this is like your interest and advice for contacting, you name it, right? So interest should really be all about things that are optimized to what we want, what we do, the design world, the creative world, business development, you name it. List those professional skills and competencies, but minimize kind of the personal interest stuff. This is where I think this wall is getting blurry between Facebook and let's say LinkedIn, and why probably a lot of people have a look at it and be like, it's just another Facebook. Everyone's posting puppy pictures. And you're like, yeah, it's happening a lot. But you can just mute those people. Like, make sure you can still follow that person, but make this content-rich stuff on your feed, you know?
Yes.
So there are people putting their personal stuff on there, but just don't do that as you're contributing to your profile, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's always probably a good thing to do. And then now this goes for you as a designer finding a job or you as an independent designer looking for work and looking for clients. But you want to make sure that there's something in there that shows the ease of contacting you. How do I contact Jordan? How do I contact you to kind of like for an inquiry of a new job or whatever? So make sure that there is something there that is easy to say. And maybe you say, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. There's a great way to putting that in there. It's a welcoming feel. But then if you reach out to somebody, now that you're in this LinkedIn world and you might find someone to contact and say, hey, are you looking for branding, whatever, you could basically just say something as simple as, I'm currently exploring new packaging or new branding clients in the LA area. You know, I'm at this level of my career. Here's a few examples. If you'd like to discuss this, you can reach me directly and put your email right in the message as well. So it's just now they're not connecting you through LinkedIn messaging, but they got your email ready to go.
Yeah.
And there's a nice connection. So isn't it neat? Like, think about it. Like, where would you'd probably spend a little time looking through some companies of like-minded companies, right? And maybe reaching out to them this way.
I think that's a really, really, I mean, one, it's always going to look more professional probably than like a DM from Instagram or something. and despite like I have gotten work that way, I think this just seems like it's a lot more streamlined for what people ask for.
Yeah.
And at least like the questions I usually get. Because it's sort of made for that. And so I think the opportunity here is way higher for getting that kind of work. And then also networking, like, look, we all love to use that word and term like network, but ultimately, like, you're not doing a ton of that on, I think, a lot of the platforms. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of can be an echo chamber. Unless, of course, like, look, if your audience is other designers, and yes, you, I mean, that can be a business. I look at awesome people like, you know, Dustin Lee from Retro Supplies. Like, he connects with the community and he provides stuff for the community. So it makes sense why he can do so well on those platforms. But if you're looking for these clients and you want to actually reach out and find potential clients, this seems to be the key.
Yes.
In all of that.
It was built for this. Like, it, so you're more, like you said at the beginning there, it's more appropriate in this setting than, let's say, in another thing like Instagram or something, right? It's almost a given that this is what you're going to get out there in the LinkedIn world, you know?
Yeah, and it just seems easier to find these people too. I mean, so there is a section I want to talk about, which is the jobs, which is probably coming up, but like, I'm very curious how to really do some outreach here.
Yes,
and I have a whole tab under jobs.
I just made a nice little note that that's something we do. Right on a bill here that has to go out later. Good times. There's another section which obviously kind of fills in the gaps, and there's like things that can help boost your brand and other things that you can do. So don't forget to, even if there's anything you've done that is an award or a publication, the cool thing is you could put a direct link to it. So if it lives somewhere on the web, put a link to it, right? Even volunteer stuff, anything that's well, kind of helps well round your whole persona is fantastic. Like we said, again, in this other section, you can do even more of the multimedia. You can put your portfolio, any papers or presentations, other representations of your work and art, anywhere it lives, connect it here through a link to your website. If you've got a blog, you know, so many designers now have design blogs that are offering great resources and things to potential clients. Throw it in here as well, right? Your PDFs of anything. One thing, too, is to have like maybe even have like a if you have a really good welcome letter to a new client, or if you have a questionnaire, have it there as well as a downloadable PDF and be like, let's start the conversation. And you've already ignited something before they've even touched your website, right?
Sure.
So that's a great way to look at it.
Nice.
Cool. Okay. So some tips before we get into like the posts and stuff. And this comes directly from my cousin, Michelle, who really believes in this. And I've seen how it's been a difference with my students. First thing she tries to say is, I think there's the max now is you can join 100 groups, okay? And groups are everything. You can search in groups and search for things specific as, like when I first looked at it, I looked for branding people in LA. I looked for packaging designers. I looked for podcast. There's groups of podcast hosts, you know? It's like there's everything right now. Especially with like UI UX being so big and experience design. Look for things that are specific to you. A lot of them you can join immediately. Some of them it will ask, it'll say you've, we got your request. And then within a day or two, you might get an email that says you're now in that group. Keep in mind, you can mute those groups. You don't have to get every single post that's been from them, but all it's doing is it's exposing you to other people. So someone who's not connected to you might find Jordan Wilson Designs because you're in the same group.
Okay, right? So groups are, okay, yep.
And let's say someone's looking for a new packaging designer. They might be savvy enough to go, let's look at packaging designers in LA group. Boom. Now they're looking at 15 people instead of 400 people. And
so do you think, I mean, you mentioned like, I mean, is the goal a good number to try to join 100 groups?
Yes, because what it does is it basically, now at that point, it allows you more free searches because you get 15 searches, I think, per month. I gotta double check on that, but you're limited to your amount of free searches you can do in the free thing. But if you are at 100 groups or more, it increases the amount of searches that you can look for online on LinkedIn.
Okay, and I'm not familiar by searching. What do you mean? Just
like going in there and like going to the search bar and searching for a particular person or a company name. Or where does that person, if there's someone specific you're looking for to contact at a company.
Oh, you only get a certain amount?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But no one's, I don't think anyone's even gotten to that point. You are limited to a certain point, but all joining 100 groups allows you more free searches down the road.
Okay.
But also what it does is it lets you mine for companies better. So you can find, you might find a company in there. Like I remember finding a packaging printing company that was local in one of the groups. And I was like, we needed to, I sent them a thing, said, we need to connect because not only can you bring me business, but I can bring you business, right?
Yeah.
My clients can come to you and your clients can come to me. So
yeah, I love that.
It mines for really good connections between companies you might not have thought about because they're, you guys are within the same group. So it's just a way of concentrating down to find people that are more specific to what you're looking for. Follow target companies. So let's say there's a dream client that you want. Follow them, okay? LinkedIn encourages those companies to go to followers first than anybody else, right? You will show up faster in search results, okay?
Okay.
So status updates on your homepage. This is where we start to get into being rich in content. This is the stuff you're now putting on your feed because you have your profile, but when you log on, now is this feed of everyone you follow and what they, and their feed is who they follow, which hopefully is you. So starting to think about how you're going to put the rich content out there about who you, what you do as a business, what you do as a designer. And this is where those little luck of the draw things have started to happen for me in the last few years from just the posts that I'm putting out there. So what I like to do is put out the advantage of maybe something that you did for a previous client and how great it was and maybe the success story or even a put a graphic with that image and a little bit of a statement or a blurb that the client said about how great it's working for them. Or, you know, Jordan Wilson's design nailed this design and we've seen this is our most successful launch ever. That post, bam, put it out there, right? You get the graphic of what you did, but you also get the commentary that's speaking to the decision maker out there that's not a designer that just so happens to pass and see this.
That's really nice. And when you when you're posting, especially like I think a lot of us are going to post, you know, pictures and images. We're creatives and like obviously that's a great way. Cause I was curious how you can really show examples of the work. And I know this is something that LinkedIn for a long time didn't offer. And then in the last, I don't know, year or two, they kind of let you again showcase work and pictures and PDFs and links. And so if I post, you know, pictures of my work, is there a place on my profile that those live or do I need to post if I want to put, you know, examples of work, does that need to go? You know how Facebook sort of like if I upload photos and a post on Facebook, they're in a section called my photos.
Right? Yes, correct.
Does it work like that?
Yeah, you now have it's your activity. So someone can go to, like if you go to my profile page, there will be an area where it says show all activity and then activities and everything. You can see anything I did as an article. You can see anything I even posted on. So yeah, it keeps track of it that way. But what's more important is you just want to be found on those feeds when other people are looking in the morning, having their cup of coffee and everyone's checking LinkedIn to see, that's where you want to put a very specific post that's about a strength or a benefit that your design or your company has done to a client. Or what I've seen a lot of people do is they go like the five principles of great food packaging. Here's what we've learned. And you can do like a quick slideshow and show examples of your work. So if it's a, don't just put, you got to change the mentality. It's not like you're just going to put something like you did some hero shot on Instagram and get 4,000 likes. You got to be a little more like creative with this and think about putting in text to that image, putting in, making it more of a billboard so people see it and see the value you brought.
Yes.
If that makes sense. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of not like almost like a case study in terms of just the thought is, again, this is a resume. So everything I'm putting out, I need to reflect that.
Yep. And it, it unlike, you know, Instagram, obviously, you can include a link, even a small one of those tiny URLs in there if you want in your post. So it's easily clickable and they'll find you. Mm-hmm. They'll find what you're talking about. I think you can even, last time I even tried, we did, you put in a GIF, which kind of helps you if you want to do a quick slideshow of your work.
Sure.
Yeah. And that way no one has to click through it. It's not interactive. It's moving on its own. Obviously movies are great. But it's also good just as much as you're putting out there that you're commenting on other people's stuff. So when you see something, right, great job, this looks awesome. Like, you know, oh, wow, this is a great article. Thanks for sharing. Like those little things, again, elevate you to be found more. And it's what's interesting is you can see when you do something successful, not only does it get a lot of clicks, but all of a sudden you can start seeing when someone checks out your profile and they're not a link or connection to you, you get a little thing in there that says someone from some company checked out your profile. So if it's if it's, you know, Bob from fucking Pepsi, you better write back and be like, thanks for checking it out. What can we talk about? Right? Like you see what I mean? It's like it gives you those tools to be, it's a little sneaky, but again, if someone checked out your profile, there's a reason they went there. So absolutely. Take advantage of it, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So again, too, even as you're doing that, you can throw in hashtags in there. You can be found via hashtags, just like any other social media profile. So if your content is very rich in strategy and discovery and branding, put those hashtags in there, right? Get in those keywords again. Go back to that list. Are you putting in the keywords that you're using? Because the more cohesive you are on those, the stronger your whole profile is, right? And add your location, add all those things, because again, sometimes people want to know where you're at, how close are you, like the little things like that. Now, you're not going to lose anybody by saying where you're at, but you might gain more because they might go, oh, you're close by. You see what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And especially, I think location is really important across a lot of these platforms.
Yeah.
One, because I do think a lot of clients will opt to hire someone local. And I think that if you are close by, like I've had a lot of good results when I started putting Portland, Oregon, wherever I am.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a post that I just made. But simply because I think a lot of, again, clients are wanting someone close by, there's benefits of hiring someone local.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's an easy thing. It's just an insurance.
Right? Yeah.
It's just increasing odds. And that's what it's all about. Even hashtags, even keywords, like it's just increasing odds of people finding you.
I also find too, isn't it funny when you land on some other designer's like website, whatever, and you're like, there's no mention of where you are. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if there might be a reason why some people think that's an advantage, but like, I just think being grounded into some city, it just feels more real to me.
Yeah.
So again, do it. You know, obviously you say it in your profile, what county or where you live. So
I think a hyper-local focus for a lot of designers can be really beneficial. And even if you're like in a small town, I think that's even better.
Yeah.
Like Portland, Oregon's big and there's a lot of us. And so like it is, you know, you get lost in the clouds a little bit, but I think like you can really make it work in a small town. And why is because people, if you do great work, a small town, there's going to be a lot of eyes seeing that. People talk, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, oh, who did your menus or who did your logo? And it's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you can make your name for yourself in your town, that's key.
Yep.
It's way easier to get jobs that way.
Because
you're talking like word of mouth versus, you know, not really harnessing your local part. I think it's a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, yeah. So other things you can do to kind of enhance and throw more content out there. Get into even doing posts that are more like blog related. So it looks very similar to like Medium, right?
Okay,
where
yep.
you can write an article and it's very rich and like it looks like you can load multimedia, you can have headlines, you can have subheads. Kind of looks like a nice digital magazine article. So anything, maybe it's a case study you might have recently done, put it out there, right? Mm-hmm. I like to also like promote my clients that have their pages on there, right? So cheer them on, write that kind of stuff. Again, another person in their field might be following them, not you, and sees, oh, Jordan was the guy that did the design. I kind of like that stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a note. So now it's another way to be connected for the things that you're trying to be found for, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So there's things like that. I like to even like, I encourage my students all the time to get on there because I like to like blast them too. Like if they post something on there, I'll put it out there. One of my students was, he wrote something. He was a big fan of some company and he did a project based on it. And so he put it out there and even tagged the company. And I wrote back and I tagged the company again. I go, if you're real smart, you'd hire this guy, you know? So like, again, it's just like those little things that you can do, you do for others as well. Don't just go in there thinking LinkedIn and all your connections are going to work for you. You got to do it for the others as well.
That's how networking works.
Totally.
It's not like I do this, everyone look at me. It's no, you have to engage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I find it to actually be kind of fun. It's refreshing. Like, you know, every once in a while when you've checked Twitter and Instagram 200 times, there's nothing new. You're like, oh, there's also LinkedIn. let me look there.
Feed the rest of my addiction.
It's still the stepson, you know, poor LinkedIn. But it's, again, I hope this is stuff that's telling people that, God, it's so rich, man. You got to use this stuff because it's only going to help you. It can't hurt you in any way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm very curious to see, again, I like having this as the guinea pig.
Yes.
Because I have heard so many success stories of people landing huge clients and really big projects just through LinkedIn, through a post. I mean, you're a great example.
Yeah.
Like you've had some great opportunity.
Yeah.
Simply by putting out some work that isn't relevant to what they hired you for necessarily, but they liked it and like, oh, you can do something fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it is so much harder to get that opportunity anywhere else. And that's why, like, you know, to answer so many of these questions where people are like, how do you get jobs through your social media? I think it's going to be LinkedIn. I think that should be the route to take.
Yeah.
Or if nothing else, to help network, because I think you're networking not just inside your field, but also people that connect to that field or have a say in that field. Maybe they're not a graphic designer. Maybe they're, you know, they're a marketing director, or they are, you know, someone that you can really attach onto. And like, I mean, the best example you talked about, like maybe a fellow printer or
yes.
like a manufacturer, something where like, oh, I'm making connections that I can utilize later.
Yeah.
And that's something that really helps. I have connections with a few printers locally that, you know, if I bring them work, they, you know, cut me a deal because I'm bringing them clients. Like if I have a client, like I know a great screen printer, they're going to give us, you know, 10, 15% off just because I know
them. Exactly.
Like those kind of deals are really valuable.
Yeah.
I think LinkedIn is a great space to network that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting so many head starts, right? You're on there, you're connected to certain people. You can look at other people. You can actually see their job title. Like, that's the thing that's so missing from Facebook and other things is it's driven just for this, right? So like, one thing I love too is when someone has met someone and they exchange and meet each other at a, let's say a conference or something, and they find each other on LinkedIn. Now they're connected until that connection needs to kind of blossom. And let's say you've connected with someone and you know that person's an incredible UI UX person, and you know someone who might need it. You can find them immediately and be like, oh, she is a fantastic UI UX, you know, designer I met, make the introduction on LinkedIn, and off they go.
Yeah.
So the best. So like even too, if you go, are you open right now on your profile?
Yeah.
Hit the My Network button at the top.
Okay.
And you should get kind of recommended for you people that, so it's doing all the work in a way of kind of figuring out anybody based on your connections, you know,
okay.
who else you might want to contact with. So
that's funny.
If you look through there and if you see someone with like five or more mutual connections, you might as well just reach out to them. And the golden rule too, don't just let the default LinkedIn message saying, you know, hi, Christopher, I'd like to connect with you. Highlight it and say, Christopher, looks like we got a few mutual friends. Would be great to connect with you. My name is Nick. I'm in the Los Angeles area and we do branding and graphic design. Looking forward to talking to you. Like,
okay.
Change the default. Because there's many times it's going to be someone, they don't know you. Right? It's not like someone you went to high school with and you're reconnecting with. They don't know you. So put in a custom little message in there if you're connecting to people. You'll get so much more success and you might even get a conversation out of it going, thanks so much. Oh, checked out your stuff. Looks great. Like
totally.
Totally better, right? So
go through
there. Once you've kind of got everything going and you're going to start exploring, that's kind of the first area to go to, right? Try to mine. I think one of the goals is to mine for 100 connections. That's your first kind of goal. And that can happen really quickly because the minute you start putting them out there, all of a sudden you're going to start getting them as well. You're going to get someone wants to connect with you.
Yep. Yep.
Right? So that's a great spot to go to, right? Messaging obviously keeps things that's much more one-on-one, right, with anybody. And what I usually like to do is start the conversation there and then move it to your email. Like, get it off there as soon as possible if the connection really starts going, right? The jobs area is obviously, if you are looking for a job, it's a whole recruitment area there if you are looking for jobs. There also is ProFinder, which is LinkedIn's kind of thing for freelancers, right? So you can get on ProFinder and it will take everything from your LinkedIn thing and you say now you are available for freelance work. And it will match you with opportunities that come up in your area based on the specialties of your business.
Okay.
Now, I haven't had a lot of luck there, but I think some younger designers who would rather not do like Fiverr or all of those low-end ones, the LinkedIn kind of umbrella makes it a little nicer, you know?
Yeah.
And a little more trusted.
Sure.
So you definitely try for that. That's always fun. But I really encourage you to go just look around and just explore it. It's great online. It's just as good on the app. You know, make sure you have the phone app as well because you want to, if you're out and about most of the time and you want to correspond and get back to people, make sure you have the app going. When you look at the homepage, if there's someone on there that's just overly posting and it's getting a little crazy, you can just click on the three dots and you can unfollow them. So you're still connected, but you are just unfollowing them. You're not getting...
So there is a difference between following and connecting.
Yes. So when you click on that, it might say, stay connected, but stop seeing this person's posts.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay. So that's a nice kind of way to filter out.
That's super nice. Yes. Yes.
And let's be honest, I'm sure people have done it to me. So I'm not going to be a problem. Don't take anything on LinkedIn personally.
Only going to post pictures of my cat.
I love it. I love it. So, again, it's really what you put into it. I think, don't be afraid of it. Just explore it, try it out. Mm-hmm. Shoot for those groups, shoot for 100 followers. Like, I think a cool goal would be like, maybe when we come back to this in 3 weeks, if you get 100 followers, you know?
Oh boy. Yeah.
We'll make you a little badge, a little like LinkedIn bootcamp badge. And a little enamel,
patch, man. We're
a little
designers, enamel patch. Pin. Yeah, there you go.
A little patch for your backpack.
I did it.
I did it. Perfect. What? Any other? Do you have any like questions or like? I mean,
I had somebody. I think you tackled. Yeah, I'm going to dig into it pretty hard. But I think you tackled them all. I think the biggest one I had was like kind of the etiquette of this whole platform, because I think there are certain aspects, but I think you touched that pretty well.
No, that's good that you brought that up, because I think that's, you should keep a level of professionalism here. Don't you talk in a different voice here. I think no slang, no like abbreviation. I don't know. It's just,
it's not an Instagram. It's not a Twitter. The way I'm looking at it, everything should push through. You should be putting out a lot of the same material, I think, but maybe through just the scope of a resume. Like, would you do this on your resume, right? Because ultimately, I am putting out a lot of the stuff I'd like to already on my Instagrams and my Dribbles and whatever.
Yeah.
But I just think the way you go about maybe commenting about it or writing about what it is should be through a scope of like, I am a professional and I'm trying to get hired through this. Because I don't necessarily do that through Instagram. Instagram is much more personal for me.
That's a great, great highlight that you're bringing it through those filters.
Yeah,
keeping that in mind, that's the whole goal why you're here. You know? And don't forget the analytics, the things that you can see in your dashboard are pretty amazing too. So your dashboard kind of calculates things as far as like who's viewed your profile, how many people viewed your post, your search appearances, like how good you're coming up. And then just even searching for more tips on LinkedIn for your business. There's so many great resources out there beyond what we just talked about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And please and link up with us if you're listening as well. We would love to link up with you guys, because Jordan needs 100 by the end of this experiment.
That's right. Cool, man. I think I'm pretty excited to see how this does. I'm very excited to see the results in terms of just like for our next episode.
Yes.
Which, you know, again, that'll be probably 3 weeks from now, but you guys can listen to it in, you know, whatever, a minute.
Yeah.
But I think this can be good. And I'm hoping that results kind of showcase that in terms of just what it can do.
Yeah.
And hopefully this will be like an answer I have to a lot of people when they ask, how do I use my social media to get jobs? Because frankly, it's like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's not what you think. But this could be, it could be the answer.
Yeah. So I'm endorsing you right now, and it's saying, how skilled is Jordan at branding and identity? I'm just saying, pretty good.
Can you rate it? Can you give like or is it just like a
no? It actually gives you three little squares. It's good, very good, and highly skilled. So I'm going to put highly skilled, and I manage Jordan directly. No,
that's right. That's right. I'm the muse.
There we go. And submit. I just gave you an endorsement while we were live on our podcast. See, it's that easy.
That is amazing. That might be my first one.
No, you got two in branding and identity. Look at that.
Ooh.
Awesome. Well, this was fun. I really hope you guys walk through this with us, and let's hope that we even get just as good of results from you that we get from maybe some other reviewers, viewers.
Yeah, I mean, and if it doesn't work, it's all Nick's fault. Yeah. It, so
I'll take it.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be great. And I'm excited for the next episode, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
Killer. All right, guys.
All right.